Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we are back, and we are going right to the phones as we are joined by one of our favorite contributors from Tightline Outdoors, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing fine. I was thinking about you coming on, and I really have to look at your notes because you and I don't talk. You and Taryn talk. Nobody talks to me. I don't know. Taryn does all the work. I just pretend I know something, and then I, you know, I get the credit. But she said you want, and I was really wanted to look at the notes because there are so many opportunities for fishing in the state right now, and I wasn't sure when. You'll probably touch on a lot of different ones, but it said walleye fishing, and we're approaching some of those peaks where you can really catch them, aren't we?
I mean, that's it, Terry. So with that being the topic, we can obviously talk about anything. You know, everything is pretty much open now. You know, Granby opened Friday. A lot of your lake trout fisheries opened up in the last couple of days. So we're literally in full swing now as far as, you know, statewide fishing, species galore of everything out there. But with that said, I think there's still a lot of people that, you know, might not be up for traveling a lot. Obviously, a lot of the smaller towns in the mountains are still suggesting, you know, not a lot of impact on them. So with that being said, there's never a better time to stay local than when these walleyes really get going and they hit their summer pattern. And one of the biggest things about the early summer patterns right now, obviously, I think a lot of people know how to structure fish walleyes, you know, with jigs and rigs. But when these fish first pile up on structure, obviously, I think there's a few more of those mature males and those adult females that really pile on structure first. And before those fish kind of get weeded out, now's a great time to get out there. You know, you're going to catch a lot of fish that you could take home that are that 18 plus. And really, it's just a good time. You know, weather's great. The recreation is out, but it's not in full swing. So it's really a solid time for walleyes right now in the Front Range. And all the fisheries are doing well. Pueblo, Cherry Creek, Chatfield. Just in the last 3 days, I'd say we're seeing the last of those fish at Cherry Creek kind of coming out of their post-spawn pattern and their spring pattern to where probably 90% of those fish now are moving up on structure. So again, up and down the Front Range, a lot of opportunity for walleyes. And again, it's fairly simple. I mean, you can literally you're looking for those contour changes, looking for the structure changes. If you can find a structure change greater than 5 feet, you're going to find fish on it. If the structure is big, those live bait rigs and Lindy rig type techniques are great. If the structure's small, throwing things like paddle tails or twister tails is a dynamite technique right now. But again, I mean, we're seeing some of these fisheries doing 100 fish days. So a lot of opportunity for anglers to get out there, both advanced and, you know, novice anglers.
Yeah, I got a quick question for you. You talked about twister tails and paddle tails on a jig head, and we both know that, and I use a gulp minnow quite a bit, we both know that those are, that putting a soft bait on a jig head can be a tremendous way to fish for walleyes. If I go back 25 years when I was covering the PWT for In Fishermen, I don't think a tournament fisherman back then would have thrown a soft bait without putting a piece of a night crawler on it. How do you feel about that?
You know, Terry, I hate to say it because, I mean, obviously, like you, you know, had the Minnesota roots, kind of have the old school style. It's by habit, it's by tradition to not have that confidence without putting that bait on there. But with that being said, if I fish a twister tail, I still do love tipping it. So if I'm on a straight twister tail, a piece of a night crawler or a leech, I'm a big fan of. But what I do more than anything now is I'm fishing a ton of paddle tails. So things like a Berkeley Ripple Shad or a Havoc Grass Pig. I'm taking more of the paddle tail approach to where I'm not adding that bait. I'm not tipping those presentations. I get enough vibration out of that bait to where it creates enough reaction bait. It's 100%, you know, confident by itself, and actually tipping that bait will actually slow down that vibration, slow down the overall action, and actually, you know, crush you and hurt your overall take for the day. So absolutely, the paddle tails, great bait. And again, you're going to have that same success without having used that bait. So for people that don't want to deal with leeches, don't want to deal with night crawlers, it's a great technique out there. And again, I think the paddle tail is kind of sweeping don't want to say sweeping the country, but I mean, I can't tell you how many times that we're now using paddle tails outside of the traditional jigging, you know, techniques, whether you're vertical jigging or pitching the jigs. I mean, one of the hottest techniques out there is trolling paddle tails. You can troll with lead core, troll behind planer boards. You know, taking a paddle tail jig, using it as a swim bait, really is a presentation you can use in all situations, and it's going to catch you a lot of fish. And again, it is a way to avoid the overall bait aspect if that's what you're looking for.
I think, too, we should clarify paddle tail, because years ago, a paddle tail was a little bit of like a paddle-shaped end, not the boot thing we see now that came out of the back of a jig and was less vibration than a curly tail. But when you talk about paddle tails now, you're talking about that boot like you see on a swim jig that gives you that constant vibration as you move it. Is that right?
Absolutely, that is correct. And again, you know, I mean, there's most manufacturers are making some sort of that swim bait body with that bigger boot tail. Again, one of my favorites is a ripple shad. You know, right now we're throwing 3 and 3.5 inch. As the water warms up and the fish get a little more aggressive, we'll start using 4 inch paddle tails. But right now it's really that 3 inch, 3.5 inch. It's a great bait. And we actually fish it on a fairly heavy head. I fish it on a 3/8 ounce head. Sometimes if I'm in real shallow water, I'll fish on a 1/4 ounce head, but we use that heavier head to get more vibration. If you fish a real light head, you slow things down and you're overall not actually going to get the vibration that you get. So if you fish on a heavier head, it allows that bait to come through the water just a hair quicker, and you actually get more vibration. So you actually get more attraction to that bait. And again, it catches a ton of fish. And I think one of the biggest questions we get by anglers is, when do you jig and when do you live bait rig? And there's a lot that goes into either one. Again, if you do not want to use bait for whatever reason, you can jig in all situations. But for me personally, I kind of break it down to two scenarios. One, overall depth that I'm fishing, and then two, the size of the spot. So obviously with a live bait rig, whether you're pulling that behind a bottom bouncer, a walking sinker, or even an egg sinker. So if you're fishing that bait or pulling your live bait rig behind lead, obviously you're dragging it behind your boat. So if you're in shallow water, less than 10 feet, obviously driving over the fish can sometimes scare them. So if I am in 10 feet of water or less, I almost always throw the jig just so I don't have to drive over those fish with the boat to scare those fish. Also, if I'm on a very big area, I'll pull those live bait rigs. But other than that, jigs is kind of open to any of the other situations out there. But jigs are going to excel on smaller bodies of structure, so a real small point or a small sunken island, and or in that real shallow water where you don't want to drive over your fish.
You know, I got to share I don't know if it's a story or just kind of a reflection back on what you're talking about. And as you know, a good friend of ours has been throwing the larger swim baits for walleyes for years, Doug Stange, and he almost pioneered some of these walleye bites with that vibrating tailed lure. And him and I would go back and forth because I was like the twitch tail. I was like the subtle approach. And, you know, and I was covering the PWT, and I really didn't want to, mess with live bait when I got a chance to fish myself. So I would use subtle things. I don't think we had a gulp minnow back then, but we had the power minnow, and we had little twitch tails, and we had things like that. And Doug would always throw those boot. And I think I almost didn't start throwing those paddle tail swim tails just out of being stubborn for the longest time, but they really are effective, and you have to open up your approach. And sometimes we get our confidence lures, and sometimes you just have to break out of that, don't you?
I agree 100%. It is, and especially for everybody that's using live bait, it's hard to get out of that crutch because, again, obviously it's natural. We know the fish like it. It's, you know, tried and true. But again, I think getting out of that is a big thing. And with the paddle tails, again, it's about diversity. So you can take that paddle tail. Obviously, that paddle tail slows things down. So as a normal jig head would fall, the paddle tail adds enough resistance where you get a slightly slower fall rate, which increases bites and also allows you, the angler, to feel it a little better. But I think the biggest thing is the diversity. So especially in a guiding situation, a twister tail is so effective in that normal up and downward jigging motion where you hop the jig up, let it flutter back down. And it works, but if you start swimming twister tails, they catch fish, but I wouldn't say it's as effective. You can take a paddle tail, cast that bait out there, and if your anglers are really struggling or you yourself are struggling with jigging, if you struggle with that, you can take that paddle tail, you can lay your rod just a little above flat, you know, almost level with the water, and you can literally just turn the crank on your reel 2 or 3 times and then let that body, that
bait fall back down to the bottom. Then you can just crank the reel two or three times. It's going to pull that bait up 4 or 5 inches. It's going to swim along bottom and settle it back down. So the paddle tail offers more of a variety of techniques. You can jig it with a high stroke. You can swim it along bottom. You could really cast it and swim it above weeds. So you have one bait that you can work multiple areas of the water column, or you can pull it a variety of distances off bottom and cover different lengths of ground in between fish until you really figure out the pattern the fish want that day to increase those bites. So again, super diverse and catches a ton of fish right now. And with that, right now, if you talk about the bodies of water and the fisheries, I would say across the board, natural colors are doing the best. Right now, throwing paddle tails at Pueblo, white has been extremely hot. You go to Cherry Creek, it's more about kind of a gray or a silver. And at Chatfield, we're actually using a little bit of a blue tint to that. But overall, real natural colors right now are doing extremely well. And I kind of expect that to last into the summer. Generally speaking, we use brighter colors in colder water and more natural colors as the water warms up. And as we're now approaching those summer patterns, that water's warming up a little bit. I think those naturals are going to continue to go kind of all season.
You led me right into where I want to take you for the last 2-3 minutes here. And that's, tell me, it's supposed to be decent today, nicer tomorrow, and then hit really warm till the end of the week when we get a little bit of cooling and rain. If you're going out fishing in the next few days, maybe say through Wednesday through Thursday, where are some of the places you'd go and how will it change as this hot weather moves in?
You know, I think the biggest thing across the board, you know, whether on the Front Range or in the mountains, as you get warmer water, I think your fish are going to be coming shallower. So your rainbows are going to start coming shallower. Your walleyes are coming shallower. I think this is going to do absolute wonders for the bass spawn. So I think those fish are going to come shallower. So just kind of, a thing to look out for is wherever you are currently catching fish, I would anticipate those fish coming into shallower water as that water warms up. One of the bites I'd say that we talk about every year this time of year, but I think it's so key to focus on, as we start seeing runoff and as our water temperature or as our air temperature increases, obviously that runoff is going to, you know, heighten. You're going to get more water in the rivers. As the rivers get blown out, still water fly fishing is one of those things that I think presents opportunity for probably more and bigger fish than most fly anglers, you know, encounter in an entire year. And right now your anteros, your spinnies, those fisheries are so productive right now for stillwater fly fishing. You know, you're nymph fishing in somewhat deeper water, but those opportunities are huge right now. High number days on big fish. So I think for all the fly anglers out there, or really anybody who's normally focused on river fishing, as your rivers, you know, are going to get blown out here shortly, if they're not already blown out, I think that stillwater fly fishing is going to be one of those bites that is a must for those anglers to try out this season, just to just see what those opportunities exist. So right now, again, walleye in the Front Range would be my first go-to. Second go-to, I would give stillwater fly fishing an opportunity. Just, again, a lot of fish, a lot of big fish, and I think it'll blow your mind at the overall opportunities that exist with a fly rod on reservoir fishing up here in Colorado.
All right, and my friend, before I let you go, how are things going with you? Are you ready to? Are you booking guide trips yet? And what
we are, we are open for business. So again, we have to take it, you know, lake by lake. We still have a few counties and a few bodies of water that we're on that still have restrictions. But for the most part, absolutely, we are in full swing. So feel free to give us a call. Again, you can always check out our website, tightlineoutdoors.com, or Facebook. We do a lot of our updates there. And then we also have our catch rate event coming up this Wednesday. So again, May 20th, Wednesday at Chatfield, the North Boat Dock. We have our catch rate. You can go to our Facebook page to get more information about catch rate, but a really fun event for bass, walleye, trout, and carp. So hopefully everybody can have a chance to experience one of these catch rate events this year. It's a good time. I think a lot of anglers learn a lot and meet a lot of great anglers.
All right, so hopefully we can all get back to spending more quality time in the outdoors with less restrictions and great information, Nate, and keep up the good work, and we will talk to you again next week.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Nate Zielinski. Hey, folks, if you want to see Nate and I fishing, if you go, first of all, we just posted a few weeks ago a lead cord segment with Nate and I on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, and it takes you to the YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. There's 3 or 4 shows fishing right here in the Front Range with Nate at Chatfield and Cherry Creek that we did, and they're on The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom on YouTube. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Brad Peterson's going to join us, and we're going to talk more fishing on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.